No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
Morena, I'm good. I'm still loving the intro.
It's just great. It's just great. Yeah. 10 out of 10, everybody involved. Hey, yeah. I hope you had a nice, restful weekend. We've got some good questions from the BFM listeners that have been rolling in over the last 2 weeks now since we spoke to you because of Easter last week. So we might just dive straight into it if that's cool with you.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Awesome. So the first one we've got here is someone says, good morning, I work for the TAB. They've applied for wage subsidy, but they are forcing us to use all of our holidays with a 14-day notice. Is it unethical, hopefully illegal, to use wage subsidy to pay holiday pay as such? It seems unethical to me. So that's from one of our texters. What's the deal with that, Justine?
Well, it's definitely unethical. Whether it's illegal is kind of a grey area. Thank you for naming that employer, because that's fucked, and I will personally pay them a visit. No, I'm joking. This is something that's really pissing me off, this issue, because it's interesting, because in the conditions of the wage subsidy, it says you will not unlawfully compel or require any of the employees named in your application to use their leave entitlements for the period you receive the subsidy in respect to those employees. So that's a fancy way of saying, if you're receiving the wage subsidy, you shouldn't force them or compel them to take leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I've looked at legal advice from employment lawyers who generally help bosses, and they're saying that it's fine to do that. So to me, that seems like a contradiction, because like, this is the condition of the wage subsidy, but employment lawyers that generally give advice to corporations are saying another thing. So I would say that this is actually a problem, and we need to take a case, basically, to the Employment Relations Authority and work it out. I would definitely push back at it at my workplace, so in this case, at TAB, because it does say that in the conditions of the wage subsidy, and the advice I've been giving people is that that's the condition, so you shouldn't be on leave if you're receiving a wage subsidy, because that's not fair. Double dipping, right?
Yeah.
But clearly, some employment lawyers seem to think there's a grey area, so we probably need to take a case is the honest answer to that, but I would definitely push back on it. And from a union perspective, I think it is unethical and potentially illegal.
That is very interesting. We've actually had a couple of texts to that effect of people being asked to take paid leave. This person said they've been asked to take paid leave for 3 weeks to help with the leave balance at work, and are they allowed to be asked to do that? So does that sort of fall in the same ballpark, do you reckon?
Yeah. I have no idea what that means as well, to help with the leave balance. I mean, what... in what way? Yeah, it does fall in the same ballpark. As I said, like, my advice is that it's not... it does contravene with the conditions of the wage subsidy, so I would go in with that. But if employers are still continuing to do that, I think that there's a case there. This is the problem with stuff. Sometimes you have to take it to like the law and have them test it out in that arena. Yeah, it's not all clean cut, unfortunately.
We had an interesting observation come in from a listener last week, which I just wanted to run by you as well and check if it's correct. Someone said something to note about the wage subsidy is that there's still income tax to pay on it. Employers will take PAYE out before passing on to staff. Contractors will need to pay income tax on the subsidy in the end of your tax returns. Do you know much about this, Justine?
I don't, but it sounds about right to me. I mean, people have to pay income tax on if they're receiving a welfare help. So, yeah.
Sounds about right. So this person has said, we have had quite a few sort of level 3 related queries, and this person said, my employers told us that we're expected to return to work under level 3. We can't work from home, but I'm in a bubble with my mum who's immunocompromised. Am I allowed to stay away from work?
So there's still a lot of information coming out about how protections for vulnerable workers under level 3. Mm-hmm. So the answer to that is I'm going to answer what I know right now under level 4 and hope that it translates. But I would really keep an eye on that if I were this person. So there are protections for vulnerable workers. The government, the Minister of Health, has a list of people who would come under, you know, being vulnerable. Now, you, this person would definitely come under that, especially because, you know, you're living with someone who's vulnerable.
Mm.
So the employer would essentially have the obligation to find you alternative accommodation, or otherwise,
right.
you should be able to access the wage subsidy for vulnerable workers, because
mm-hmm.
there's two wage subsidies, basically. There's a wage subsidy if you've had like 30% loss of income as a business, and then there's a wage subsidy for vulnerable workers who potentially can't work.
Mm.
So I would go to your, if I were this person, I'd go to the GP, get a medical letter saying I live with a vulnerable person, it's not safe, you know, in their opinion,
mm-hmm.
you know, it actually ask the doctor, in your opinion, is it not safe for me to go to work?
Yeah.
am I putting my mum at risk?
Yeah.
And then I would give that to my boss and say, you know, I do come under this definition of vulnerable worker, and the wage subsidy is there. Can we see what happens at level 3? But I would definitely get onto that, because this is a big issue as well. And it's a health and safety issue.
Yeah.
And I completely understand. I mean, I wouldn't want to put my mum at risk. I would definitely...
I think we're going to see probably a few questions like that popping up as we start to sort of think about what level 3, whenever it happens, might look like. So somebody else has said, I work for a big company and we've been asked to take a 15% pay cut. We've had a couple of messages over the last couple of weeks actually like this at work, and they've said that this would be a massive hit for them. It's supposed to be voluntary, but it feels a bit like we're being guilted into it to avoid redundancies. That's the quote they've given. I'm not sure how to bring it up with my workmates without seeming selfish. Who should I be talking to, or what's a good way to tackle that?
So a lot of people feel really awkward and, you know, selfish or whatever when talking about things like wages, because, you know, that's kind of like a cultural thing, I think. I think when you get over that, because it's really, really important to be transparent and honest and open with your coworkers about these kinds of things, because that's the only way you can fix issues. Like, and most issues are collective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the only one experiencing them, and you're not selfish. You're not selfish. you're a wage worker. You know, unless you're a CEO, you're not selfish. So just put that thought in and throw it in the bin where it belongs. You're not being selfish. Like, that's terrible. Like, a 15% financial hit for me would you know, be disastrous.
Mm.
So I can't even imagine. It's not voluntary. The truth is, it's not voluntary, right? Because there's the threat of you not having a job.
Mm.
So that's the power, like, you know, the fact that your employer are in an unequal power relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the shitty parts of living under capitalism. Anyways, I digress.
Good digression, though.
Yeah. So, in terms of, like, I would want to know, I think, like, your employer owes you some transparency.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd want to know how much income they've lost. I'd want to know if the people at the top are taking any kind of pay cut, because that's probably where the pay cut should come at first. I know this is difficult to, you know, to, like, bring up, by the way. I'm not saying it's easy to just say, hey, boss, tell me this stuff, but this is the kind of thing you guys need to do collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to get over being selfish, because I can tell you, you know, you're going to feel a lot less selfish if you find out that the CEO is not taking any kind of pay cut while you're, you know, earning $55,000 a year and taking a 15% pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd want to know those kinds of things. I'd also, I don't know how big your company is, so I recognize it's a difficult thing to, you know, it's easy to give this advice and harder to do in practice, but this is the thing about having a union presence and, like, a collective,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, thing, is that you can negotiate. So you say you take a pay cut now, you know, to avoid redundancies. Does that have to be, you know, is that permanent, or
mm-hmm.
is there a clause on that? Like, when the situation has resolved, I'll go back to normal pay. Who negotiates your contracts? You know, if you have a collective agreement, so everybody's covered under the agreement, when you go into your next negotiation, you can make up for the pay cut. You know what I mean?
Mm.
If the conditions allow. So these are the benefits of having, like, a union presence and a collective agreement, is that there's a little bit more. Yeah, you can. If I were you guys, I would try to collectively negotiate. I don't know how big your company is, so maybe it's difficult, so I can't say it's easy enough to do. But I'd want to look at making sure that maybe there's a, yeah, that it expires if things improve, yeah. You know, if suddenly we're like COVID-free and living easy.
You'd want to make sure you're going back to your sort of normal wage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And also just like, yeah, I'd want to know what the income loss for the company has been and whether any other action could be taken. You know, this should be a last resort.
Yeah.
Redundancies and pay cuts should be a last resort.
Our very last question that we've got for you this morning, Justine, is someone's said that since one of my workmates quit pre-lockdown, I've been pretty much doing their job on top of mine, and my work said that they aren't going to be hiring new staff anytime soon. I'm pretty exhausted, but not sure how to tackle talking to my boss because I know everyone at work has really overworked.
Everyone might be overworked, but you're more overworked because you're doing two jobs and getting paid for one.
It's a pretty good basic point there, yeah.
Okay, so don't feel bad about that. I'm sensing a lot of people coming through feeling guilty, and I just want you to know you should not feel guilty. You are an asset. I can bet you're a great employer, and you just need to have a little bit more of a fuck you, pay me mentality, is what I recommend.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you can quote me on that. If I'm doing two jobs for one paycheck, I'm going to be a little bit less guilty and a little bit more like, fuck you, pay me. So that sucks. I'm like, no, you should not be doing that. And that is going above and beyond your contract. You have a job description. You should go and you should request it if you don't have a copy of it, but you should have a copy of it. It's a good thing to keep around. And you should only be doing that. If you're doing more than that, you need to be reimbursed for that, okay? Mm-hmm. I would want to know why they're not hiring. I get that it's difficult. Actually, maybe don't ask that question. I mean, you could, but I think the answer is, you know, the pandemic. So whatever. But that means they've got a little bit of cash, right?
Yeah.
So they can pay you more.
Yeah.
You should be paying more if you're doing two jobs.
You should be recognized for that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I would definitely not. There's this idea called work to rule, and it's this idea that you should only work as to your job description and the hours that you're specifically employed for, because that is what you're getting paid for. So that's a pretty simple kind of like thing. But most of us work more than that. So most of us are actually getting paid a lot less than we actually are in our contracts. And this person's literally, I mean, this employer is just getting a great deal.
Two for the price of one. Yeah.
Yeah, two for the price of one. So I think you need to value your labor and value yourself, because clearly you're an asset to this place. And, you deserve to be getting compensated for the
price
of one work that you're doing.
Hardcore, absolutely. Hey, thank you so much, Justine. I hope that, I know that that will be very helpful for those people who've texted in, but I hope that's helpful if you recognise a bit of something you or a friend of yours is going through at the moment in any of those questions. And if you do have questions, send them through to us on 5395 and we will put them to Justine next Monday. How does that sound, Justine?
Sounds great. My answer is always going to be, fuck you, pay me. No, I'm just joking.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, cheers, Rachel.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.